like to call up Pastor Stan for this morning's message called Generosity from the Heart of God.
I'd like to begin by saying that yesterday, one of the pastors at our sister church, Honolulu Christian Church, the Nichigo pastor, the assistant pastor, got married in Japan about a week ago, and they had the celebration yesterday. So I was able to go to that, and it was very different, completely different from, not totally different, but it wasn't a wedding ceremony, it was a wedding blessing, because they had already gotten married in Japan. And so they call it a blessing, and it was a beautiful time. Everything was very different. And I thought, wow, this is really a neat thing to do. And then after the blessing, there was the reception, or the lunch, I should say. And so we went to eat lunch. And of course, I'm walking into the place where there's the food. And then I'm looking around and scoping out how everything's kind of set up for to eat, right? And of course, I want to get the coolest seat, the one by the window. And so I make sure I can kind of try to get a seat near the window so it's convenient. And then I'm looking at where's the one that, you know, how is it to get up and down and move around and which seats are really convenient. And I thought about our sermon today, about Jesus is preaching about a banquet and how we ought to react at a banquet. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty appropriate. Now, many of you know I'm part of a band. It's called Naho Aloha. I also play with a band called Cornerstone. And so we have more than my fair share of banquets that we play at. And so as people who play in the band, we're kind of invited guests. We're not, more like hired hands. And so we're not honored guests either. And so the band has kind of like their own seat on the side here. And so we're kind of suspended in between this place of honored guests and hired. We just don't fit into what Jesus is going to be talking about today. So what I do is I kind of look around and I watch and I think, I wonder how people are making their decision on where to sit in this banquet. You know, we go to parties a lot, and you go to a banquet or a birthday party or a luau and a wedding, and certainly Jesus had his fair share of weddings and parties that he went to, and so he uses one of the events that he went to as an opportunity to teach about the kind of spirit we ought to have when we're among other people. And I wonder, in my own mind, when I go into a banquet, where should I sit? And I almost never ask the question, I wonder where other people should sit. I'm always thinking about myself, almost exclusively. And as I'm preparing this message, I'm thinking, wow, I'm experiencing some conviction here in this sermon. Now, I've known about this, of course, is scripture. And I feel guilty every time I go into the banquet and look around thinking, what kind of seat should I choose? So I don't know about you. What kind of things do you think about? Let's share. No, let's not share. Let's not share, but tell the truth, right? Maybe it depends. And when we go into a room, we're looking for the best seat, or what kind of seat would suit us rather than what kind of seat would be advantageous for somebody else. And in this particular scripture we're going to get into today, Jesus is teaching in a banquet that's held at a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee is a religious leader. And I have this picture over here. It's kind of hard to see, unfortunately, but if you want to look it up, you can see it. I found this one. It's done by Paolo Veronese, and he's a Renaissance painter. And this one here, particular one, is on the wedding at Cana of Galilee, found in John chapter 4. So I thought I would use this as the background for my sermon today and kind of get the idea of what can we learn about a banquet. And I'm entitled the sermon, Generosity from the Heart of God. Generosity from the Heart of God. And I'll tell you right up front that I'm avoiding certain kinds of rules like do this, don't do that, do this and don't do that. The story today has a lot of that. Jesus is doing that, and we're going to find the value in that. But by generosity, I'm using a very wide definition. A definition of giving of yourself, giving of your time, your energy, your resources, your rights even, and your privileges, giving those away. And because we have something deeper to draw on. So it's more than just an act. I'm not saying generosity is an act like giving. Give somebody your seat. I'm saying, how can we have a spirit that results in the act of giving? So I'm going to suggest today that our highest aim is generosity from the heart of God. Father in heaven, we know that you teach us things not just to make rules for us, but the things that you teach us really flow from your own heart. So I pray that you help us to understand the advantages and disadvantages and dangers of the way we understand your teaching. And I pray that we would be able to reach a little bit deeper and be able to peer into the heart of God today, your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our scripture has one setting, but there's two targets. We're resuming in the book of Luke. Last week I had shared on the gospel, just the gospel presentation. And a lot of good comments, by the way. And many people suggest that I should do that a couple times a year. So, you know, I'm looking forward to doing that. Hopefully that'll equip a lot of people. And but we have our scripture today back in the book of Luke, chapter 14. We're resuming in verse 7. And we're going to go through verse 14 today. So there are two target audiences that Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to guests, and he's speaking to hosts. So I want to take the first section where Jesus is speaking to guests. And so we're going to read Luke chapter 14 and read verses 7 through 11. Okay, so let's go ahead and read that together. Ready, go. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that you, when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus is using this setting here in order to teach a very, very big kingdom principle. And I'd like to kind of unpack this and have us really interact with this, because I believe all of us have gone to some kind of banquet at some time and have wrestled with this. You know, back to that banquet idea, how many of you have had a big debate in your head on where you should sit? Don't raise your hand, okay? And here's the question. Which thought wins the debate? How do I respond then to Jesus' message to guests? I'm going to suggest there are four typical responses, one of which is self-centered, three of them are other-centered. And I think you're going to know which one is the one Jesus is saying don't do, and which ones are good. Okay, so the first one. The first response in inviting to a banquet is, I take the best seat I can. Period. That's just the end of it. In Luke chapter 14, verse 7, part of the verses that we read says, people pick the places of honor. Jesus was just watching, and he noticed people pick the places of honor. So who is that person thinking of when they pick the place of honor? Are they thinking of themselves? Are they thinking of other people? That one you can answer. Are they thinking of themselves or other people? themselves. They're thinking about themselves. So this is obviously not the option Jesus is teaching us to take. So maybe you're thinking, I'll take a chance that everyone here is on the same level playing field. And no one here is more honorable than the other. I might as well take the best seat because somebody has to sit there. Or how about this? Besides, first come, first serve. How about this? The host isn't really going to move anybody around. I might as well take the best seat. How about this one? I'm doing somebody else a favor so they don't have to walk all the way up front. That would be really embarrassing for them if they came late and walked all up front. Oh, how noble, isn't that, huh? Oh, man, I tell you, so selfless. Okay, so how about this? If we were to take this a bit further and understand this as a principle of things, sometimes people pick the place of honor by wanting to look good in front of other people. It's about how they look. They do things to draw attention to themselves. Others pick the place of honor by getting the best of what's being offered. How many people want at the banquet want to be the first to be on the buffet line because they want the untouched, pristine buffet line? And you come later and it's all kind of messed up and mushed up and, you know, you don't know who spit on it. Oh, sorry about that. That was too much. I went across the line on that one. Okay. Forgive me. Okay. Okay, so that's one option. You just go ahead and sit wherever you want. Second option is, I want the best seats. Okay, I'm honest about that. But I prefer to obey Christ and take the lower seats. Okay, Luke 14:10 says, Jesus says, take the lower seats. Not a hard thing to do. Now, there's something to be said, isn't there, about sheer obedience. Jesus, I want to do this, but you said to do this, so I'll do what you said. There's a nobility about that. There are competition of values going on in our hearts all the time, aren't there? And when we are able to say, okay, Jesus, I will do what you want me to do, and we go and take the lower seat, there's something noble about that. It's commendable. Now, is Jesus saying that if you're going to a new release movie, that you have to sit in the front row where nobody wants to sit? Okay, let's go on to the third point. Notice how I just avoided that question. That's kind of between you and God, I guess. Okay, on to the third point. Really, I don't have an answer for that last question. Okay, the first one is you just take your own seat. This one is, I want the best seat, but I prefer to obey Jesus Christ. Number C, I would rather someone else honor me than for me to honor myself. I don't want to grasp for that honor. I'm going to have somebody else honor me. So before you say this is bad, even wanting to be honored, a self-centered thing, let's see how Jesus sees it. Verse 11, Luke 14:11, Jesus says, then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. He's communicating this as a good thing. I think deep inside, there's something in all of us that wants to be honored. There's something that resonates with our spirit when somebody says, good job. It might not be that you won an award, but maybe it is you won an award and somebody presents you with an award or something and you're honored in some way. Jesus here is saying, I want you to be honored, but I don't want you to honor yourself. In Proverbs, it says that somebody else praise you and not yourself. It's not like, hey, Stan, you're pretty good, man. I have to say, you're pretty awesome. Not that kind of thing, okay? So why is it hard to receive honor? Okay? If you're Japanese, you already know the answer to that question. It's because you're Japanese. Okay. You're supposed to suffer. Your whole value is suffering, right? And putting up with hardship. And a lot of that, by the way, is kind of congruent to the Christian culture. The other part of that is there is indeed, isn't there, a Christian emphasis on humility. A Christian emphasis on humility. That is, what we do, even in this passage today, our goal is to go down so that we can lift others up. He who is last will be first, and the first will be last. That sort of thing. How about this? Another hard thing about receiving honor is delayed gratification. You have to put up with some hardship, maybe even insults and ridicule, and one day you will have some kind of honor or reward, but that's delayed. It's not going to happen right now. And to do that, you have to trust God. You're trusting God's promise for something you don't see now, but you're not grasping for the honor yourself. And so it requires faith. It demands that you believe that there is a God. You believe that Jesus' words, when he says this, you will be honored, is true. And by the way, just remember, Jesus does not hesitate to honor you. He wants you to be honored. Okay, so those are the several different options right there. You want to take the seat you want. You want to have the best seat, but you prefer to obey Jesus. Or you prefer someone else honor you. And there's one more, okay, here. I want to have a generosity from the heart of God that honors others. The emphasis on here is want. There are people, I believe quite a few people, who actually want this. They actually desire that somebody else get the honor. That somebody else be lifted up, not themselves. If you look around, you think about the people that you serve with here, people that you work with here, you probably see these kinds of people that they would rather not get the honor. They want to have a generosity from the heart of God that honors others. So let's remember where Jesus' words come from when he's speaking at this banquet. His teaching reflects the very heart of God. Let's take a look at John chapter 12, verse 49. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So Jesus is not just slinging around some good ideas, some really neat principles. He's actually taking from what's the heart of God, and that humble, serving heart of God, that love at the core of God, and he's putting it in the mouth of Jesus, and now Jesus is speaking about this at the banquet. Let me give you a little bit more down-to-earth example. So let's say I notice my neighbor is pushing the car, and the car stalled, and I say to my son, "Hey, Micah, let's go help the neighbor push the car." So he comes out, and we all get out, and we help the neighbor push the car. Now, what did Micah see about what's in my heart? Micah responded to my instruction to push the car because it was in my heart to do so. Who told me to go push the car? Nobody. It was just in my heart. Likewise, when Jesus is coming and he's giving these statements here, he's saying this is what's in the heart of God. God is the God who serves. God is God who lowers himself, who gives somebody else the best seat. Think about this. God has absolutely no reason to exalt himself. Who is he going to exalt himself compared to? There's nobody to compare himself to. So think about this. God can only be generous. He cannot be selfish. He is already exalted to the highest place. He already owns everything. He is already all-powerful. As one of the songs we sing says, He has no rival. He has no equal. So we're talking about the generosity that flows from the heart of God. And that generosity says, I prefer that others have the better place. It brings me great joy to take the lower place so someone else might have the higher place, the better seat. In so doing, you are loving others above yourself. And if you're doing that, very good, good. So all of the responses we had up there, B, C, and D are good. A is not good. We don't want to do that. But the bottom line is that Jesus wants you to give honor to someone else. You can take the best seat, but you choose to leave it for another. And when you do that, here is Jesus' promise, that you will be honored. Luke 14:11, as we read, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. As we enter the holiday season, we know that traffic's going to be heavier. We already know that. We know the parking lot's going to be full. We know that there are going to be more accidents on the road. People will be rushing for merchandise and parties. What if everyone who is rushing to get ahead, you are big-hearted, and you let somebody cut in? You let somebody else take that stall. What if you did that? What if, when you're really angry at this traffic because it's way slower than normal, and then you see the ambulance on the side of the road, what if you prayed for that person who was in the accident? What if you prayed for the people who are stalled by this accident? What if we're big-hearted that way? I tell you, your joy will be greater. You will give joy to others. God will honor you. And here's the kicker. You'll be no worse off because of it. That's Jesus' message to the guests. So the second message Jesus has is addressed to the hosts of banquets and parties. So Jesus' message to hosts. It's a little bit simpler. There's only a couple of things here, but let's go ahead and read Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. Okay, let's read this off the PowerPoint here. Let's say, ready, go. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So there are a couple of ways we can respond to Jesus' instruction here. The first of all is you can host a dinner for those who can repay you, right? Can repay you, can reciprocate. They're going to invite you back or give you a really nice Christmas gift or something like that, right? You're going to remember the party you went to. Okay, now, this is a tough one, I have to admit. This is a really tough one. I don't think that Jesus is saying never to host a family dinner or birthday lunch or have your friends over for a holiday gathering or a party when UH Warriors win the conference championship. I don't think Jesus is saying never do that. In fact, I think he's being using a little bit of hyperbole. Hyperbole is a grammatical figure of speech that uses extremes in order to make a point. When he says, do not invite these people who can pay you back, I don't think he's saying never invite them. I think he's saying, do you ever invite those who cannot pay you back? That's the question. So, those gatherings of friends and everything, those are all well and good, and they help with fellowship and things like that, but they do not result in eternal blessings. They do not result in treasures in heaven. So I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a bummer. I wish it would, you know. Kind of being hospitable to all my friends, even though they don't actually pay me back or they might pay me back. You know, can't I be blessed and they can be blessed by inviting me over? You know, we can bless each other that way. So I can't answer that question for you because that's not in here. But here's what Jesus says. Option B, here's another option we can take. Host a lunch or dinner for those who cannot repay you or reciprocate. Host a lunch or dinner for those who cannot repay or reciprocate. Jesus' focus here is on eternal benefits for people. So Luke 14:14b says, although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now this requires delayed gratification. You have to be willing to wait until the resurrection of the righteous to be repaid. But how much do you think God can repay you compared to how much you have done for God? Which amount will be bigger? What you can do for God or how much God can do for you? But do we have faith for that? Jesus sees very clearly how short this physical life is. And he wants us to prepare for things that are eternal, not just temporary. So therefore, those who cannot repay us provides an opportunity. Think about this. Those who cannot repay us provides an opportunity that those who can repay us do not provide. It's an opportunity for us to store up treasures in heaven, and so we should value them. In James chapter 2, James warns about saying to the rich, here, rich person, here's a good seat. You take that favored seat. And you say to the poor person, you're poor, so you know what? You sit on the floor by my feet. Now, we might argue, well, at least I invited the poor person. But even James is saying, give that person the preferred seat. So maybe you're here and you don't quite know what to do with this. And I ask that question because I didn't quite know what to do with this. I'll be honest with you. This is I know what to do. You just do what it says. But I'm going to ask you to do this. If you're really stuck and you really don't know what to do with this, first of all, pray. Pray for a generous heart. Start there. Say, God, you know, I've never invited somebody who cannot pay me back. I need your help. Secondly, take a chance. Take a chance and invite people who will not pay you back. Let's be honest about this. How many of you, when you have a party, mentally calculate how much is that person going to be able to provide in a gift toward this party? Oh, hard, yeah, this message. Ouch, yikes. I'm not sure how many will actually host a party for everybody there is those who cannot pay you back. But I will say, I've seen people, and I know people, who have hosted parties and invited people who cannot pay them back. Now they have their friends and everything there, relatives, and they also make it an effort to invite somebody who maybe they know is not going to pay them back. Maybe it's a traveling student, maybe it's a missionary, or maybe they're here without a family, and they invite people to this party, and they bless them that way. There are ways we can do this. Again, here, what we're aiming for is the generous heart of God. What place of honor does God give up in order to bless others? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 speaks about that. Let's go ahead and read that together. Ready? Go. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The Creator of the universe came to us, born in a stable, born in poverty, born to parents on the road, in order to lift us up to heaven. So at the banquet, Jesus talked about the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Who are those people? That's us. That's every one of us. That's what Jesus has already done for us. God has invited us to that party. Every single one of us are people who have received an invitation for which we cannot repay God. We are those people. What a twist, isn't it, to this story? When God sees that we practice a generous heart of God, I believe he cannot help but be joyful and look at us and say, wow, you get it. You get it. That person gets it. And of course, this principle not only applies to banquets, it applies to all kinds of settings that Jesus is taught in, whether it's loving and praying for your enemies, or blessing children, or paying tax to government, or healing on the Sabbath, helping victims of muggings. And all of these kinds of things are other-oriented, and they reflect a generosity that flows from the heart of God. Maybe you're here and you finally realize that what God has done for you. As the band comes up, I'd like to think about where you stand in this whole sermon. Maybe you realize that you are the poor, the crippled, you are the blind, and you are the lame. You were invited to this party by God. May you realize that what he has done, what he's instructing us to do, is something that he has already done for us. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, know that he invites you into his heavenly dwellings because he came and died for our sins. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that out of this setting of a banquet, Jesus used it to teach us such rich, profound truths, truths that challenge us to the very core of our being. And I have to say, Lord, probably some of us are really uncomfortable. And if so, then your word has done its work. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to become those people. Not, even if we just obey out of what you said. Yes, praise your name for that. Lord, those who obey and want to do what you said because they want that honor from you, praise the Lord. Lord, there are people who have it on their hearts that want someone else to be honored. Praise your name, Lord. May we become more like you in that way. Father, help us to be people in the upcoming months, to be people who will reach out to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Those who cannot repay us because it reflects your heart. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you. I receive you, Jesus. I receive your invitation. Your invitation to eternal life, because I am the poor. poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray.